Hello, and welcome to the Generation Rent podcast. My name is Tilly Smith, and I'm a member of the team here. In this special episode for World Mental Health Day, I'll be speaking to Francesca, who is a private tenant, to find out how renting has impacted her mental health. Thank you for joining me today, Francesca.
You are very welcome, Tilly, and good morning to you all.
So the first question I just want to start things off with is, would you be able to tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I am Francisca. I come from Portugal. I am 66 years old, and I have been renting for quite a while in a few countries. I am kind of retired now, but still working very hard as a singer and a farmer and so on. So I've rented in Holland, in France, in Portugal, in Wales, and in England. So I have an array of experiences. I do realize that because I rented in other countries a number of years ago, I've been in the UK for almost 10 years. I know that what I can talk about there has probably deteriorated in the meanwhile as well. But I think that I have never rented anywhere with such huge problems as the UK. Even though, for example, all contracts in Portugal used to be 5 years, but we are talking about the early 2000s. Now they are 3 years. But renting there, I think I've talked a while ago to a friend of mine who is a letting agent, and she was quite appalled with what is going on here. So the contracts are now 3 years, as they were in France already when I rented there. But still, 3 years gives you quite a bit of security. And another thing, in Portugal, you don't, as far as I know, you don't have any inspections. My parents rented all their lives because it used to be the norm in Portugal for forever until this idea that we all have to own our own homes came about, which I don't particularly agree with. I think it all depends on your own circumstances. And to tell people that if you don't own a home, you are not a successful person, you didn't make it, whatever. I think you can have a lot of problems renting. You can have a lot of problems buying. The thing is to have a good, healthy rental sector.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really stark when you hear about the experiences of people in other countries. In particular, it's obviously quite jarring when obviously this is all I've known. So thank you for explaining a bit about yourself and telling us about yourself. I wondered, Francesca, if you would be happy to, or if you would be able to tell us about your experiences of renting in the UK and England and Wales in particular, and the impact that has had on your mental health.
Yeah. So I started the renting when I came to the UK at the end of 2013, and then I started renting in 2014, first in Wales and then in England. In Wales, I had a dreadful experience because I had been talking to an agency and then talked to my ex-husband of how much you'd be willing to pay. And he said, okay, I'm here for a few days. Let's go and see a few houses. I went back to that agency on the phone this time. And the gentleman was unwilling to rent me anything, even though I had £1,000 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, up to £1,000 a month. He tried in all ways possible to dissuade me, even saying there are other agencies, you don't need to rent through us. And although I'm a foreigner, I can say after 66 years that I am a very decent person with shown her credentials. But you didn't hear about it. And so I rented through another agency, and I was very, very lucky that the landlords were very, very hands-on. And after 6 months, so I had a one-year contract, they were very hands-on. And after 6 months, they said to me, would you agree to go on with us? I said, absolutely. We'll lower the rent a bit, and we'll go on together. We are friends until today, and they were very important during my divorce, just to show that the idea that landlords are evil people is also not right at all. And so we had no problems. At the end of the 1 year, they knew that I was in a very difficult situation. The lady phoned me and said, you don't have to pay right now. The last 2 months put towards your solicitors and we know you'll pay later, which of course I did, but it was an incredible act of kindness. They helped me through that whole period. I won't go into details. It would be too long, but they were better than a lot of families. So then after a period of being more or less made homeless, I was the court has assigned me the right to have another apartment, which strangely enough, I found a very suitable apartment with that first agency that had discarded me for being a foreigner, but in another part of Cardiff. So it was another branch of that agency. And I told them right away what had happened. They said that the guy was the boss of the rentals in that other part of Cardiff. I said, well, this should be talked about. They promised me that they will treat me like that. So I did rent the apartment, but no one ever talked to me, nothing. And the guy much later on was still the boss. There I had the huge problems because the apartment was a new renovation, beautiful apartment that had been badly done. The agency, instead of dealing with it, I became very ill with respiratory infections and all, but I had to still go on fighting with my MEP, everything. So it was quite catastrophic. Then I had already got to know my current husband. So he said, we'll put more money on the table. We'll go to live together earlier than we would have wanted. But we have to do it because in the meanwhile, I was sleeping in the living room on a mattress on the ground and everything. And they did give me 1 month's compensation, which wasn't enough because I had to have healthcare that was very private, healthcare that was very expensive and everything, but at least they did something. We moved to another place, a beautiful detached house. My husband said, you need to have the time to heal. The problems started day one and were absolutely horrendous. The agency regarded us as model tenants, never did anything for us. The house was very neglected. We had been upfront promised that would all be made good because the owners had lived there. They were moving out. They would do all the work. That never happened. The owner even came to visit all of a sudden one day. And I said, look, this needs a deep clean. Can't you do it yourself? I mean, that's not something you do. You say to somebody who is paying nearly £1,500 a month, even if I was paying 500 or 300, I mean, I was paying what was asked of me. And it was absolutely clear that we had no rights. 4 months into the contract, when things were being slowly going back to normal, the problems were really horrendous. We receive a letter again, somebody of the agency out of the blue knocks at the door. Here is a letter evicting us. It was a huge, huge shock. I was alone at home. I had never heard of people being evicted of their houses, surely not perfectly decent people. So it was very bad. First I sunk into an abyss and I just, after all that had been going on and the horrendous divorce of a few years and everything, I just didn't want to know about anything anymore. Then I kind of got my strengths back and I said, I'm going to fight for it. It's difficult as a foreigner to find everything. My husband is Welsh, but he just thought there was no use whatsoever. I went to all our organizations. I talked to everybody and absolutely nobody was interested. Then We had hoped that they would delay the period, and we could find it. We couldn't even find a lawyer who would represent us, because they all represent landlords. And a lawyer also said to us during a free consultation that it was no use, because most all the judges would file in favor of the landlord. So we set out to find another house, which was very humiliating, because we had to tell our story that we had been evicted and all. It's terrible, you know. I am now 66. My husband is 71. And you have been decent all your life, and all of a sudden you have to say, well, I was evicted after 4 months in my house. The new agency promised that it was a family agency. Everything would be plain sailing. We kind of were very happy. We paid a bit more. In meanwhile, the first landlord, seeing that he couldn't rent the house for that money, came back to us, please stay. We said, no, not at all. And it took him a few months, and he had to lower the price. So we rented again in a bit better location in Cardiff, an even nicer house for a little bit more money. And the problem started right away. It took us a time and time again to try to kind of minimize everything. We got to know the previous tenant was a well-known architect from Cardiff, and he was so angry with the agency, and really, really angry. And months later, he hadn't solved the problems he still had with them. So this shows how bad things are. 2 years later, the landlord wanted to come from the United States, so the contract would be ended. Then it wasn't, because due to COVID, they couldn't come back. But anyway, we said to one another, we go to England. We want to start again. We don't want this hell anymore. We want to be nearer to London. And we came to Abingdon. And this agency is one of the biggest agencies in the UK. And my husband, from years back, had a very bad idea about them. And if you talk anywhere, even to people you don't know, a lot of people have experienced very bad experiences with them. Afterwards, we found a lot of bad reviews. Tenants, landlords, and previous people who worked for them. So this shows that state of things. It's like, you know, a lawless land. And the problem started absolutely right away. We have an amazing landlady, absolutely hands-on, lovely elderly lady. She wanted to move to another agency after the contract expired with them, but she was told that as long as we are in the house, she can't move anywhere, because she's so dissatisfied with the agency, and so are we. But unless she ends our contract, she's tied to them. I mean, this is incredible. The problems here, they drove me absolutely to desperation. In the meanwhile, because we had so many problems ever since we got to know each other and then living together, our marriage was also absolutely on the rocks. So we came here in March 2020, just before lockdown, which made everything even more difficult. In December 2020, I tried to commit suicide, because I knew I couldn't go anywhere else. And again, this life wasn't worth it for me anymore. My husband, in the meanwhile, thought that we should live with old problems. Back then, we were paying £1,500 here. Now we are paying a lot more because rents hike. So you start with a budget, you think, okay, I manage it. In Cardiff, nobody ever upped our rent. And here, it's absolutely awful. So my husband completely disconnected. We are now a couple just waiting to separate. We don't talk anymore. He lives upstairs. I live downstairs. I've slept on sofa for 1 year. All stress put on us made things absolutely far worse. I was trying to build a career as a singer. I gave up on it a number of times, even though I've been a contestant on The X Factor. semi-finalist on Holland's Got Talent. I'm now 66, so I wasted so much time that probably my chances are now next to nothing. This absolutely destroys people's lives. I have got therapy now for complex post-traumatic stress disorder, not only because of this, but because this brought a lot up. I had to wait for almost eight years because, of course, I don't have the resources myself to pay 60 or 70 pounds a week. So I had to wait for many years. Being assessed is also a nightmare. With the people here, we got a small compensation, but it's clear that all the organizations don't help you. It's just stress and more stress and proving stuff and even trying to meet with the agency. No, that is a perfect disrespect. Going to town to their branch, you are treated as if you are subnormal, you know, subhuman.
And so do you think that the state of renting and the way that it is has directly negatively impacted your health, your mental health?
Absolutely. I could have died. I could have died. And at the time, I tell you, I couldn't care less about anything. You know, I had lost my husband. I had lost my career. I lived in a nightmare of writing thousands of emails. Before that, I had completely stopped eating. I'd stopped washing. I was a skeleton. I had a wonderful GP who would even phone me herself, would say, you can do it. You can. I had help of a young lady from Mind who would phone me every week and come with more phone numbers. But I had to do it myself. I was a person at death's door, and I still had to do it myself. I was assessed all over again. They would, psychiatrists would see me on the screen through Zoom, and I was gone already. Nobody ever said, you know, I'm going to knock at your door. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to hear from you. No, I was a number they wanted to get rid of. Talking to people on the phone broke my heart. You know, young people with children, all putting a lot of money into it. And to give you an example, I got to a new hairdresser when I arrived here, and I was talking to the young lady. I said, oh, we are renting with this agency. It's a nightmare. She said, don't even talk to me about it. I tell everybody who wants to hear me. The problems I had when I rented in London with them were absolutely horrendous. How is this swept under the carpet? When I was at the point that I had lost so much weight that I could have died at any time, I started tracking down journalists and politicians and everybody on Twitter and elsewhere, and I wrote a lot of emails. There was, I think, nobody who ever wrote back to me, because this is something that doesn't make big headlines. Nobody ever answers you. Nobody wants to know. No, nobody ever says, tell me your story. I will listen. No, it's, you must be rich people to be renting in the private sector. We are paying a lot of money. I believe we are paying now over the £1,600 every 6 months because we are not trustworthy. Funny enough, during COVID, it was the people in work who couldn't pay. We have a secured income. First, they wanted us to pay 1 year at a time.
Whole year up front.
Yeah, it's very damaging to be seen as not trustworthy because we are older. And again, the fact that we put a lot of money on the table was for us a gamble. So a lot of us make a huge sacrifice to be in a nicer place, to be better located, whatever, and we are just met with humiliation and disrespect.
Yeah, it's completely, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's it's rough. It's extremely rough out there.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
We pay every month a huge amount of money for our misery. Mm-hmm. And we can't even go elsewhere because now It is so difficult to rent anything separately or together. We wouldn't even dare to live here. To live and go somewhere else. So we are paying a premium for utter misery. The problems in the house are now a lot better. We only deal with the landlady, who is absolutely marvelous. She refurbished our kitchen. She bought a wonderful new fridge. She bought, they are now installing a new stove. And it's always a joy, you know, to any problem. But she deals with it. And meanwhile, she has to pay an agency because she can't even get rid of them.
I think it is interesting because it's, you know, it's, there are obviously some good landlords out there and there are obviously some bad landlords. But the problem is the system is set up in such a way that your students have all these terrible experiences from landlords and letting agents. Despite that, there are obviously some people out there who are really doing a good job. But the impact is pretty stark. Which is what changes would you like to see that you think would help the situation?
I would say demolish the whole thing down and start again. And because the way it is now, if you put plasters on broken legs, if you look, because I have been dealing with these problems for so long and did such extensive research, there are a lot of facades, and they'll say on TV, oh, everything is in place. Before those facades, there is absolutely nothing. Nothing, and I can prove it. So I would say find people with a sound mind, maybe advised by tenants and by great landlords and whatever, and start all over again. Go to other countries where things work better and have a look there. Don't have inspections in a house where I pay a premium for more than the house is actually worth, because this is a quite old house that hasn't been refurbished in a very, very long time. Okay, the landlady does these things to make things a little bit better. But we are paying absolutely over a premium over what the house, I would say the house is worth. But this is big business because, okay, the landlady is earning, but the agency is earning, the government is earning. So, you know, it is basically a gold mine on the top of the misery of people. So go somewhere else, analyze it, get the people involved who matter and who know how that works from the inside. Don't give this much power to agencies.
So thank you so much for speaking to us. I know it's very difficult to talk about these things. So thank you for being so candid and so honest. Is there any sort of final comment or sort of a few comments that you'd like to make just before we wrap things up?
Well, I think that we are living in a broken society, and that's not only England, that's all over the world. I've just been in my country and I also thought, oh my God. I think the government needs to do something now, today, and not in 5 years' time. It is very grim and a very dark world. And also one thing I think needs to be talked about is that when you say, oh, you talk about tenants, people immediately think about council tenants, and people don't even realize that there is an array of people out there who are paying huge amounts of money, being treated very badly in the private sector. And I think that distinction should be made.
Thanks again for taking the time to speak to me, Francesca. If anyone listening is struggling with their mental health as a result of their renting situation, and would like to join our renters mental health group, then please get in touch with me via our website at www.generationrent.org. If you want to keep up to date with anything Generation Rent is doing, you can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at GenRentUK. That's at GenRentUK. On Facebook by searching for Generation Rent, and on Instagram, we can be found at Generation Rent. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you will listen to the next one.